Okay, so my wife and my daughter and my dog left for Japan last Tuesday. So you might think I'm enjoying my bachelor life for the first time in 10 years since I married. And I thought I would enjoy it, but the reality is I'm so lonely. I even forgot how to enjoy the bachelor life, so I miss them so much. But I'm glad that I still have family here, you know, Christian family. So some people invited me for the supper and stuff, and I was able to enjoy that, not only just food, but able to have a conversation. Because if you are at home and if you don't speak for two days, 3 days to nobody, and I have a fear that I might forget how to speak, but I'm so blessed to have you know, families here as well. So today we are going to move on to chapter 15. So it's been a while since God called Abraham to leave his home country and go to the promised land. And here comes God again, and God encouraged Abraham, and again God declared the promise and the reward and the blessing for Abraham. And usually before, Abraham didn't say nothing about it, just received it. But this time, he replied. Despite God's promise and God's blessing, I think Abraham was afraid. He was afraid of his future. God said he will give him a land, not only land, but God will bless him with the many descendants. But he still had no children, and he had no land to own. So even God said again, he will bless Abraham. Maybe he wasn't so sure anymore. So he replied to God. And for his age, he was getting old. For his age and his situation, he had no children yet, no land to own yet. He thought one of his servants, Eliezer, seems to be the only and best choice for him, for his situation, and if you're concerned about his and his wife's age. But God said, no. God made it clear again. It was not Eliezer, but a very son of Abraham will be his heir. And God will bless him. And through him, he will be a great nation. And although the situation seems difficult still, even whatever God said, nothing has been changed. Abraham believed the Lord. And the Lord accepted it. As he's accepted his attitude and as his, you know, attitude and his faith as his righteousness here. And we also tend to do the same thing, you know, like even though we believe God's promise, but seems like nothing is happening, we try to kind of modify his promise the way so that we can believe it. He said this, but he meant this way so that we can kind of feel safe or feel peaceful. So we try to kind of modify, change so that you can believe. But God said, no. My promise will come true. And God also promised him again that he will give the land that he was standing. But again, Abraham was not sure. He was not sure again, because at this time he was owning no land yet. He lived there, but he had no land. And if you remember the last time from scripture, from chapter 14, there was a word, Hebrew, the word Hebrew. And this is the first time you can find the word Hebrew in the Bible, actually. And Hebrew means the people from the other side of the river. So people lived that area called Abram, Hebrew. That means he's from the other side of the river. Means he's a foreigner. He's a stranger. That was his, you know, kind of name. He's a stranger. He lived there a few years, but still Abram was considered as stranger and foreigner and had no his own land, that place. So he was not very sure. And he asked God again, God, how can I know that you're giving me this land? And here comes the creepy part, right? Creepy part today. Verse 9 to 10. So the Lord said to him, bring me a hare fair, a goat and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the herbs opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. This is a kind of creepy, right? The creepy bird. How should we understand this bird? Actually, these animals are not for offering. And if you just read this scripture, it's creepy and it makes no sense to us today. But at that time, the time when Abraham lived, it was very common way to make a covenant or the promise. They bring a young animal and they cut the animal to the half and place it to face the pieces each other. And you walk between it. That's how you make the promise and how you make the covenant. And that means if you break the promise, I will make you like the animals like this. So if you walk through between it, that means I will never break the promise. That's the meaning of it. In Japanese, we say, yubikiri genman って言いますね。You know yubikiri genman? Yubikiri genman, uso tsuitara, hari senbon no masu. It's a kind of cute song the kids sing, but the meaning is really scary. If you break the promise, I will make you swallow the 1,000 needles って意味ですからね。It's very scary. It's kind of very similar. This is the way that God chose this way for Abraham, so that he can be sure, he can see, visualize, and understand God is surely making the promise for him. So maybe Abraham was living in Japan. God said, oh, let's do the Yubikiri Genma the same way. So I will just skip the verse 12 to 16, we will come back later. So God did this from verse 17. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. So this is kind of the glory of God. So God walked between these pieces, made a covenant, made a promise to Abraham for sure. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham and said to the descendants, I give this land from the Wadi and blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to read this. It's too hard to pronounce in English. So he made a promise. So that's the meaning of these animals. I'd like to go back to verse 12. To 16. But when God made a covenant with Abraham, there was one condition which Abraham didn't know. That was, they have to wait 400 years. There was a 400 years waiting time. Abraham didn't know about it, but God finally told him that. And what does this mean? Why he had to wait, or his descendants had to wait 400 years to own the promised land? And if you read the scripture, you can find the reason for it. The reason is, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. This is the reason. This is why you gotta wait 400 years. So in other words, we can see this as a grace, kind of grace period for Amorites. For these 400 years, they had a chance to repent. They had a chance to come back to the one true God. So God gave them the grace period for the Amorites, the Gentiles. And sometimes, you know, we think God is not fair, right? God is not fair. God only loves Israel, and he doesn't love the other people. And if you read some people, especially read the Old Testament, they complain about it. Why God only loves Israel? Why God only loves Hebrew, and God doesn't love, you know, like foreigners and Gentiles, the other people? It's not fair. But if you read Bible really carefully, God is fair all the time. God is God to everyone all the time. If you see the history of Israel, yes, Israel was special. The God chose them to save the world. That was his plan. But if you see the history of Israel, when they turned away from God, God punished them. The same as Gentiles. And even Gentiles, if they repent, God show them grace. Like Nineveh, they were Gentiles, they were against God, but once they repent and God changed his mind and didn't punish them at that time. So sometimes we think God only loves certain people, but God is fair all the time. He doesn't change in the Old Testament and New Testament. Some people think Old Testament God is scary and New Testament is, you know, love and kind, but the same God. He is always God. And from today's passage, as usual, I like to conclude with 3 points again. And what we can learn from today's passage, number one is God's plan is different from our expectation. God's plan is different from our expectation. And we kind of already know it. Right? We kind of already know it. But we need to understand this again and again and again. Because even though we kind of already know it, but we get upset so often. Once something unexpected bad thing happened to your life, then we get upset. Though we supposed to know God's plan is different from ours, but we still get upset. But what we always come back to here, God's plan is not is different from our expectation. And that could be in good way, but that could be bad way for some period. We may not receive what we expect or hoped for in our life on the earth. And when we experience that kind of distress, often people think, or Satan whispered us, you are not good enough. You are not good enough. That's why you are not receiving what you hoped for. Or Satan might whisper you that maybe God doesn't exist. That's why it is happening. Or maybe God does not love you anymore. Because if God loves you, and if God promised to protect you, why these things happening in your life? And Satan whispered us, don't trust him anymore. The God doesn't exist. But we always want to come back here. God's plan is different from our expectation. And sometimes maybe God's love and God's mercy is maybe different kind of image from our own. And I'd like, and if you think about the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, when he died on the cross, the people, all people expecting him to be a king, right? Everyone wanted him to be a charismatic king and defeat the Roman powers and regain their own country. They established the kingdom again. But Jesus did not do it. Instead, he was killed on the cross. And all people were disappointed and even got angry about it. And nobody knew the victory would come from his death at that time. But that was God's plan. And that's how God's plan works in our lives too. So even something happens in your life that was not, that something you're not expecting, we still want to trust in God. And number two, today we want to remember is the faith. It's about faith. Faith is not believing something that you can believe, but rather trust God, even when you cannot believe it, even when you cannot believe what's happening. When Abraham believed the word of God, the situation hasn't changed at all. Hasn't changed at all. But still, he believed it. And this is tough. This is challenging, I know. But sometimes we tends to you know, wants to believe something that's something that you can believe in, something that maybe that could happen. But if that seems to be impossible, we stop believing it. But the faith God is looking in us is not such I believe in something that you can believe. But God is looking the faith in us that we trust God. Even though the situations are difficult, and even though it seems very difficult to believe, but we still trust and believe in God. And God will credit it as our righteousness. And that's the faith. And number three, the thing we want to remember today is that God's word or his promise will never fail and fall. Just like I said before, reading the Bible sometimes I find God is changing his mind. God said, I will protect you, I will establish the kingdom forever, but reality is the kingdom is not there anymore. And sometimes we have a doubt. You know, God might change his word. Well, he said this, but you know, something changes, something happens, and not sure if we can trust his word. But I'd like to remind us today, it is not God who changed his mind and break the promise, but it is always us turn away
and break the promise with God. The Bible said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and tomorrow and forever. Oh, yesterday and today, kana? And forever. God is God all the time. God is always right. His judgment is always right. He is always merciful. But it is always us to change. So God is always there waiting for us to repent, waiting for us to come back to Him. But it is us always, you know, change our mind. And maybe God does not accept me anymore. Or maybe God changed His mind. And, you know, we kind of made up stories. And we create the God which is not really God in our heart. But God is always the same. The Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Jesus who showed God's love and mercy and forgiveness on the cross never changes. So let us keep away from sin. And let us not be afraid to repent in front of God all the time. His judgment is always right. And if we repent, He always forgives us because of the name of Jesus Christ. 一言お祈りしたいと思います。Let us pray. 愛する天の父なる神様、あなたの御名を心から感謝をいたします。あなたは初めからおられ、変わることがなく、いつも正しいお方であり、いつも愛と憐れみに富んだお方であることを覚えて心より感謝をいたします。さまざまな誘惑の中で、またさまざまな試練の中で、主よ、私たちがあなたを信頼できなくなってしまうとき、どうぞ私たちを顧みて、私たちを許し、また私たちをもう一度あなたのもとへと導いてくださいますように。アブラハムがただあなたのその言葉を信じたように、私たちもまた主イエス・キリストを通して示されたあなたの救いの恵みを信じることができますように。特に今試練の中におられる方、苦しみの中におられる方、また誘惑の中におられる方、その中にあって神の救い、神の愛を信じることが難しい状況にあるお一人お一人を特に覚えます。主よ、どうぞそのような一人一人のうちにあって、主よ、あなたこそ誠の神であることが豊かに示されますように。すべてを感謝し、すべてを御手に委ね、愛する主イエスキリストの御名によって感謝してお祈りいたします。Amen.